Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Previously we spoke of raising a حافظ or حافظة. That was yesterday's class. How to be involved in raising a true carrier of the Qur'an, setting the right environment at home, making it a priority. I was traveling some years back and came to a community in Indiana. One of the brothers from the masjid, he said to me that my son started memorizing the Qur'an. I said to him, memorize the Qur'an. So he said to me, Baba, I'll do it, but on the condition that you join me. He was a physician, multiple practices, very busy life. But he knew that if he said no, his child would never look at the Qur'an the same again. So he said to him, Bismillah, I'll do it with you. He stepped out of his job, put everything on hold. For multiple years, he joined his son on the journey of memorizing the Qur'an. This is how you raise a hafidh and hafidha of the Qur'an. You can't raise them if you spend your time watching movies and touring the world while you tell them that you have to stay put and commit yourself to the Qur'an. It doesn't work. They're intelligent, they're smart. Before the Qur'an, they will learn from you the lesson of hypocrisy. Before the Qur'an, they will learn another lesson from you. And this is why the ulama, they say that before you even embark on the journey of the Qur'an and the sunnah, you first must go on the journey of refinement of your character and practice on your deen. Abdullah bin Wahab, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, مَا تَعَلَّمْنَا مِنْ أَدَبِ مَالِكٍ أَكْثَرْ مِمَّا تَعَلَّمْنَا مِنْ عِلْمِهِ. That we learned a lot from the knowledge of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, but equal if not more, we learned from the adab of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Now we turn to Imam Malik himself. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi says, كانت أمي تعممني وتقول لي اذهب إلى ربيعة فتعلم من أدبه قبل علمه. When he was young, his mother would tie a turban on his head. A young Imam Malik, little mini Imam Malik, giant of hadith to be. His mother would tie a turban on his head. It was a sign of ilm. One day that inshallah, Allah will make him a leader. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wear turbans at great moments, like at the conquest, at Fath Makkah wa alayhi amamatun sawda. Similarly, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deliver certain great sermons, Sahaba would say he had a turban on his head. It was a tradition when we studied that when a student would complete their memorization of the Qur'an, the sheikh would tie a turban on their head. Fal, good hope that inshallah great things will come from this person. So he says, كانت أمي تعممني. My mother would tie a turban on my head. And then she would say, اذهب إلى ربيعة. Go to the gatherings of ربيعة, who would teach in Majlis Nabwi. وتعلم من أدبه قبل علمه. Don't even pay attention to his knowledge at this point. That'll come later in life. You have to learn proper etiquette and manner from him first. You don't want a hifz student claiming to memorize the Qur'an while their mouth is still foul, while they still have aggression in them, while they're addicted to haram in one way or another. The time for tahfidh al-Qur'an is not right yet. Maybe they're getting there, but the time isn't right yet. First, we need to make sure the character is refined. Similarly, Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, طلبت الأدب 30 سنة وطلبت العلم 20 سنة. That before I sought knowledge, which was a journey of 20 years, I spent 30 years of my life learning good adab. There is a way that you carry yourself. The teachers and the mashayikh and the parents would tell their children, there's a way you hold the Quran. I keep emphasizing this. It may sound petty, it may sound small, but it's adab in the right hand to your chest, not between two fingers like you're spinning a pen and on the side and flinging here and there and as if it has no value at all, sitting on any side of any window seal, open, closed, crooked, straight. There's adab. There's a method to everything. That when you're with the Quran, you don't run around, you don't jump over the bench where the Quran is. Small things, but learn adab. Otherwise, this child, when he goes to memorize the Quran, will rebel against the teacher, classmates, parents, and everyone. Because with so much pressure on them, if the foundation isn't right, it'll be exposed. So first, we need to spend time building that foundation. We were having iftar today, and someone reminded me of a very beautiful parenting paradigm the ulama of the past would emphasize. لَعِبُوهُمْ سَبْعًا. Play with your children for the first 7 years. And then they would say, عَلِّمُوهُمْ سَبْعًا. And then teach them for 7 years. وَصَاحِبُوهُمْ سَبْعًا. And then be their companion for 7 years. So parenting, they would say, is actually how many years in total? 21 years. The first 7 years, you educate them, you love them. Because what's going to happen in the following 7 years, they'll only do it if they love you and you love them. If the foundation is right. You've taught them, they've seen from you. You know, our mashayikh who are very particular on adab. Sheikh Yunus, Allah arhamhum, when he would go for hajj, I had a chance in my life to perform hajj with him many times. And I remember one day particularly, we had returned back from Isha. We were in Mecca. Had prayed Isha Salah in the Haram. We came back to Mecca in his hotel room. And he wouldn't eat dinner alone because people from all over the world would come to visit him. He was one of the greatest scholars of hadith of our time. Allah irhamhu. So a few of us would put the tablecloth on the ground and bring the food and put it in small little containers. And then ulama from all over the world would come and they would have the meal with him. I remember one day clearly, while setting up the dinner, dastakhan we call it in our language, setting up the dinner cloth, instead of walking around the dinner cloth to go and get the food that needed to go on there, I walked over it. It may sound very small to some of you. Some of you may think, doesn't sound like anything significant. But these people had a fine eye for adab. That day, I kid you not, he rolled me into nothing. That day he told me off. He told me off and he kept speaking and kept speaking and he kept scolding me. I was young and I was also embarrassed. All these people were watching and this grand Sheikh al-Hadith was scolding me in Mecca. I was so overwhelmed that tears began to flow from my eyes. So I excused myself in the room and quietly walked out. Sheikh Yunus, rahimahullah ta'ala, he noticed that I had gone. So he sent someone after a few minutes, go and call him. So when I came back inside the room, he called me nearby and he said, you know, you got upset because of what I said. I'm a little harsh when I speak, but by Allah, I only speak for your benefit. And then he said to me, I'll never forget these words. You guys are my children. Because he never got married and never had any children in his life. He spent his entire life studying hadith, something that was really heavy on him later in his life. He didn't have any children. He said, I don't have any children. I don't have a home to go back to. There's no wife waiting for me. There are no kids that are going to inherit from me or that will benefit me. All I have is you guys. So whatever tarbiyah I would want to give to my children, I'm giving to you today. So one day you will go and serve the ummah. That adab must be instilled earlier in life. Ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, he talks about this. طَلَبْتُ الْأَدَبَ 30 سَنَةً. For 30 years of our life, we learned adab before we went out to seek knowledge. Similarly, Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, كَانُوا لَا يُخْرِجُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ لِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ حَتَّى. That they would not send their children out to seek knowledge until first they were sure that their children had learnt proper adab and had built a strong foundation of ibadah. Like this, we can continue down the anecdotes and narrations of scholars, but the point is clear, inshallah. In order to raise a hafiz, in order to raise a scholar, in order to raise the carriers of Islam to the next generation, before we start loading ilm on them, we need to first win their hearts, win their muhabbah, and teach them proper adab. Not adab by force, you know, but adab by love. Adab that is taught through practice. Yes, seeking knowledge may come later. They may come later. One parent came and said, Sheikh, you know, all the kids in our community, they've already memorized so many surahs by the age of 6, 7, and when we go to the dawats and parties, everyone's having their children read Quran, and my child is 10 years old, and he doesn't have so much Quran memorized. So the mother felt a little low. The other kids have so much memorized, mine has less memorized. I said to this lady that having children memorize the Quran is not some pony show. You guys understand? That this is how high, you know, my dog can jump. It's not a show. You do what's best for your family. You keep an eye on your child. We talked about this. If it's at 30 years of age, alhamdulillah. If it's at 20 years of age, alhamdulillah. If it's at 6 years of age, alhamdulillah. You keep an eye on your own children. Don't get caught into, you know, what people are going to say and what they think. Prepare the foundation right. Because if the foundation is correct, then the child will be able to execute this responsibility of bringing the Quran into their life effectively in a meaningful manner and in a way that will be with them for as long as they live, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the carriers of the Quran and make us all true companions of the Quran. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.